Good evening, Jason.
I am recovering.
What are you recovering from, Brute?
A vigorous round of exercise. I went and looked at my brother and his dear wife this evening. And for the health of it, I made sure that I participated in whatever in the world he was doing. But I think my body is starting to regret the decisions that my mind made. But nevertheless, we move on for the health of it. On VOB 92.9 and VOB929.com, I'm Jason Bell, and we have our show for the health of it, and in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. It's Trudy Griffith, are you there?
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, Ken. Good evening, Barbados.
Good evening.
Wonderful. So we continue our discussion today of crucial topic that we brought up last week about hypertension, and one of the things I'm learning to incorporate in my daily routine to keep my blood pressure so I will not fall into hypertension under control is regular exercise. It's very important as a man that we keep physically fit, Ken. So it's really important, Trudy, as well, for the ladies that they keep physically fit so that they can maintain control over their blood pressure, and if they do have hypertension, that they keep it under management.
So, Jason, I just want to comment about the pain that you're in. I know that you're doing that to maintain your health, but yeah. I know for persons who may not usually engage in physical activity, you can't start from point zero and end up at point 100.
Well, that's why I was literally telling my brother this evening. He's a fitness fanatic, man. And I literally told him, I literally used that language. I said, you can't expect me to go from zero to 100 like you know. But he insisted, and my competitive spirit pushed on, and now my body is regretting the check that my mind wrote.
So I hope, therefore, that you're going to give your body some time to recover from what you have put, the stress that you have put it through, and that when you restart, in smaller increments and continue to build until you get to the 100.
Yes, indeed. Maybe start at 40 or something.
I find it so interesting. And so as Jason would have said, we started our discussion last week on hypertension because the 17th of May is recognized globally as World Hypertension Day. And even though in Barbados we were curtailed in our plans to really observe World Hypertension Day and to execute the initiative May Measurement Month, we still want to bring some information to you, the public of Barbados, regarding hypertension. So therefore, we invite you to call us because while we may have some ideas in terms of the information that we want to share with you, if you have any burning questions that you want to ask us, you can call us at 434-1790. And you can even WhatsApp us as well at 266-4862. Even if you don't have a question and you just want to comment on the show, we invite you to do that as well because we need your feedback. We need to know if we're really addressing the questions and giving you the information that you need. So this evening, we are so pleased to have with us Dr. Dawn Scantlebury. She is an interventional cardiologist, and she's also the medical director of the Cardiac Disease Prevention and Rehabilitation Program at the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. Dr. Scantlebury, welcome to For the Health of It.
Thanks, Trudy. Thank you for inviting me.
It's really good to hear you, Dr. Scantlebury. It occurs to me that you literally fix broken hearts.
Well, I try.
Well, we're really happy to have you.
Good shot, good shot, Jason.
Trudy.
Good shot, Jason.
Thank you, sir. I worked on that all day.
I think that it would be more lucrative if she fixed the other types of broken hearts. I mean, good Lord, she could have a broken...
I think there's plenty of candidates in that department. But nonetheless, we move on to our discussion under the topic of hypertension. So, Trudy, please lead the discussion with Dr. Scantlebury.
Okay, so Dr. Scantlebury, there are a couple of things that perhaps we didn't get to address last week. So let's explore them today.
Okay.
So we know that for most of us, we accept the established genders as male and female. So can you tell us if there are any differences in terms of the number of persons who are female who live with hypertension versus the number of persons who are male in Barbados?
So from a purely statistical viewpoint, you probably end up with more women living with hypertension compared to men, just because women tend to live longer. And hypertension tends to be a disease of older people. So unfortunately, in Barbados, I see a lot of hypertension in young people, young men and women. And then as you get older, regardless of whether you're predisposed to hypertension or not, you know, a significant proportion of the population will develop hypertension by virtue of the aging process and the stiffness that develops in the blood vessels and scar tissue, etc. And then as unfortunately, as men die off, because they do tend to die, you know, the life expectancy for men is, I think, almost 5 years younger than women, then you're left with this population of older women. More than 50% of them are going to be hypertensive. So in terms of pure numbers, more women, there will be more women than men with hypertension.
Jason, you have something to say about that, or was that Ken who wants
somebody
to
comment?
I rest assured that was Ken who scoffed in the background.
Ken, was that you?
No, I was just concerned why Mother Nature would stack the cards against us.
Oh, you know how it is, Ken. We are disposable.
Very, very, very disposable. And the doctor said that so almost... No. I would not want to describe how the doctor said it. I was going to say she said it. I was going to say she said it so scantily, you know what I mean?
It's like, I was going to say matter of fact.
It's a matter of fact.
She said, the men will die off.
So, you know, I think if men used to live longer than women, I'm not going to be provocative. I'm going to be...
maybe not too provocative, but this show is held with an element of humor in it, because we're living for the health of it, you know? So don't take it too serious. Let's have a bit of fun today as we continue to learn.
So therefore, one of the issues that we tend to face quite a bit when we speak to persons about hypertension is their diet. Obviously, when it comes to hypertension, we advise persons that they need to reduce the amount of salt in their diet. So, Dr. Scantabar, do you have any particular comments about that you wish to share with us?
Sure. A healthy lifestyle is the foundation of hypertension management. So obviously, diet and exercise and stress relief, etc., avoidance of smoking. But at the, you know, core things, diet and exercise are the two top things that we recommend. So a diet that is appropriate for someone who's hypertensive or someone who wants to prevent hypertension. So what we're talking about is essentially 100% of the population. It's a diet that's low in sodium. Or controlled sodium, and in terms of numbers, we're looking at 1,500 milligrams of sodium per day in the black population and 2 grams overall. And the reason why 1,500 milligrams is recommended in populations of African descent is because of our particular genetic predisposition to high blood pressure. It's found that, unfortunately, patients of African descent, especially patients across this side of the pond, you know, Caribbean Africans, African Americans, tend to have higher rates of high blood pressure than a lot of other races and ethnic makeups, and we tend to have more of a response to a high sodium diet than a lot of other people. So being more aggressive with sodium restriction is important in our population, because we're, you know, about 90% black. So that's the sodium, but it's not just only about the salt. It's also about a diet that is heavy in fruits and vegetables and other plant-based products, nuts, beans, legumes, grains, whatever, and lower in fatty foods. So you'll have, people focusing on the sodium, but then forget that it's not just only about salt. It's also about restricting the fat in your diet, restricting, meat-based products and incorporating more plant-based nutrition into the diet.
So, Dr. Scantlebury, referring back to the May Measurement Month campaign, I know the Heart and Stroke Foundation has led this for the last few years.
Yeah.
With regards to the previous campaign, what did you find in terms of the persons who came forward to get tested? Can you comment on those persons in terms of the description of the persons who came, the gender breakdown, et cetera?
I do not have that information to hand, really and truly.
Okay.
I can say that worldwide, millions of people were tested. And it was a very successful campaign. Some of the kind of figures that we're looking at when that the organizers of the May Measurement Month looked at, so we're looking at the International Society of Hypertension. They were looking at more, people who known to be hypertensive, people who, were not known to be hypertensive, who truly were hypertensive, people who had hypertension and were under good control or under poor control. And it was a successful campaign in the sense that it did, identify millions of people who had hypertension who were then encouraged to go on to see their doctors and get on medication. But in terms of our figures here, I wouldn't be able to speak to that.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because in one of our previous episodes, we had mentioned that in terms of our statistics as it relates to diabetes in Barbados, it is above the global average. In terms of, we're somewhere between 15% and 20% of our adult population. When it comes to hypertension, do we have any comparable statistics to see what percentage of our adult population is living with hypertension?
I think the number is something like 40%.
Oh my! I was thinking 33.
I think it's, in general, across the world, it's going to be around 40% of the population hypertensive. It could be more than that, actually. It's a lot of people.
Right. I was thinking it was probably going to be somewhere about 33%, but if you say 40%, that is certainly a little bit higher than where I had based my previous estimate. So therefore, that equates to almost half of our population that we need to be concerned about.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And we're looking at, and then in terms of patients above a certain age, it ends up being a lot more than that. So, over the, I would have to be pulling, I'm pulling this out of the recesses of my memory. Don't hold me to these numbers, but over the age of something like 60, you're looking at a lot more than that 40%.
Jason, you've gone very silent. Am I supposed to worry?
I've learned that when experts are talking, it is very good to keep quiet and to take notes, take copious notes. And I hope Ken Husbands is doing the same, and I hope...
Well, I was here wondering why you don't speak when I do.
I try to learn at the feet of the Gamaliels in my life, you know? I try not to speak unadvisedly. I really advise our listeners to send in their questions via WhatsApp to 66-IVOB, that number is 266-462, or call us, 434-1790. We have an interventional cardiologist on the line, people. Let's take advantage of this wonderful opportunity.
And I wouldn't mind, Jason, if the doctor, the good doctor, doesn't mind, tell us how we can contact her. Ma'am?
She chuckled.
We would like to know how to contact you, because dealing with people like Jason Bell, you will have to contact a cardiologist.
Well, God forbid I have to talk to her in a direct format, but I'm sure that you are referred to, most of your patients are referred to you via their own doctors or via emergency situations.
But
tell us a little bit about how we can get in contact with you.
Only. I work at the QEH, obviously, so public health system. You know, we all know the QEH number is 436-6450. And again, those are through referrals, either through the polyclinic, your primary care doctor, other specialists refer patients to me for evaluation of cardiac conditions. Other cardiologists refer patients to me for interventions as far as coronary artery disease is concerned. In the private setting, I do work. I have a private practice at Bracebridge Medical Center. The, if you want the number there, it's 426-6102 or 266-6103. That's my office number. But again, I strongly encourage a referral from a primary care doctor or your referring doctor, be it a specialist in terms of pre-op assessment or something else is picked up, as opposed to just walking in to see a cardiologist. There are a lot of overlaps in symptoms, and that chest pain that you're having on and off for the last 20 years could be related to something completely outside your heart. So that's why it's important to see your GP or your polyclinic doctor, et cetera, so that they can identify whether it's something that's easily treatable in the primary care setting.
Well, thank you very kindly.
So, Dr. Canterbury, I want to pose a question to you. I'm going to make some comments first, and then I'm going to pose the question to you. Mm-hmm. One of the things that perhaps we don't appreciate about hypertension is that it is a chronic disease. So it's not a matter where you go to your physician and you get a prescription, you go to the pharmacy, you get it filled, and after that medication is finished, that you say, okay, fine, my hypertension is under control, and you don't go back for any other medication. Do you find that perhaps some of our population have that perspective in that they don't have to worry about it anymore once they've completed a month's course of medication?
Yeah. So that is a particularly important point to make. This is not a cure. When we put you on medication for your blood pressure, we're not giving you a course of medication to get rid of something that's causing a blood pressure and is going to go away and not come back. All we're doing is trying to control the problem. So hypertension is this medical, chronic medical condition that when you develop it, you kind of live with it. Unless it's something that's easily reversible by weight loss or cutting out that high salt diet or something. The vast majority of people will, even if they reverse their hypertension at one point with lifestyle modifications, it will come back in 10, 15 years or whatever. So you develop hypertension, it's with you. And the key to preventing problems over the long term, cardiac problems, kidney problems, stroke, whatever, is to control the numbers and control it below a certain level. So when you start taking the medication, the important thing is to take sufficient medication of sufficient doses that last for a 24-hour period to make sure that blood pressure is controlled over a 24-hour period. So, you know, one of the things that I tell patients is that they come to me and their doctor has tried one drug, and then they've tried another drug, and they've tried a third, and everybody's throwing their hand up in the air and saying, well, that's just my blood pressure. And my response is that we just do whatever is necessary to get this blood pressure down. Because when you throw your hand up in the air and say, well, this is my blood pressure, 150 over 90, and that's just normal for me, what's normal, what's going to end up being normal for you is getting that stroke. Or what is going to end up being normal for you is getting that heart attack 10 years younger than your contemporaries. So the important thing is to keep to control the blood pressure and do what is necessary to control it all the time. So
Dr.
when
Canterbury,
we put you on a medication,
if you,
when
like
you're
that, if you would indulge me, it's amazing, just a little observation here, it's a little amazing to me
that we wouldn't tolerate that in our cars. We wouldn't tolerate that in our water pipe, you know, because we understand that water pressure, that if it's too high in our piping, in our homes, if it's too high for too long, it literally will increase your chance that at some point it will burst, and it will burst at an inconvenient time. It will not say, well, I know that you're not busy today, so I will choose to burst today so that you can fix it at a time that is most convenient. And yet we take such a lackadaisical attitude with our own health.
Good point, Jason.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I, as someone who has battled briefly with a high level of blood pressure, my blood pressure used to be like 150 over 90 that you brought. I just thought, oh, that's probably just... I used to walk around with like a 150 over 90 and think that your bottom number is fine, so I should be okay. But no, it is really dangerous. So I had to take some crucial steps, and I'm continuing to take those steps, piece at a time, not trying to do everything in a day. But now my blood pressure is trending towards that same 130 over 80 and going down, because I want to get that top number to like 120. I'm probably sharing too much information on the radio, but it's for a purpose. For the health of it. So we really, it's just an observation that I thought I made there. And Trudy and Dr. Scanterbury would be happy to hear your feedback. And just tell us, as men especially, because again, we men can be pretty silly and lackadaisical for our health.
Say that again? Sorry, you're kind of distant. I'm not hearing you. That last sentence I didn't.
You say that we men are careless. Mm-hmm. And lackadaisical and, laissez-faire and all them things as it relates to our health.
Yeah.
And he started with himself.
Yeah, I heard all that. And I'm very pleased that he is using his own example to highlight to the average Bajan man that it's not difficult to treat the blood pressure. It's not difficult to come to the realization that you need to treat yourself right. It's one of these things that it's just one of these things you do. It's just like you take your car to the dealership or wherever to get it serviced. Going to the doctor on a regular basis and getting your blood pressure checked is pretty important too. And then, you know, when you take the car for a service and the guy says, well, we need to change out this, or we need to fiddle with this. Clearly, I don't know anything about cars.
Unfortunately, and you'll be able to tell us, that Dr. Scanterbury, it's a lot harder to change out a heart than it is to change out
exactly.
A part in your engine.
You just listen to the experts or listen to your family members who are begging you to take the medication. And, you know, you just do what you have to do. You do what you have to do because, you know, this is the right thing to do. I think part of the issue is that not only that men are lackadaisical, there is that fear of mortality. There is this need to sweep things under the rug because you don't want to face the realities of the situation. So I know sometimes dealing with male patients, it isn't that they don't care. They do care. But just like women, men have feelings too, and they have uncertainty.
I think we have a call, please.
Hello, good
thanks for calling for the health of it. Good evening, caller.
Yes, I am. Do you do calcium score tests in Barbados?
We can do calcium score tests, yes. We don't do them in general, separate and apart from a coronary angiogram. So it becomes part of a CT coronary angiogram where we do a CAT scan looking at the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart, see if there's any blockage. And part of that test is to read out the calcium score. But the calcium score, we don't just do a calcium score for doing a calcium score assay in general. But it could be done if necessary.
All right, so that's what sounds like it's... Sorry, caller?
Oh, what if someone had a heart attack and they decide to stop taking medication but to use herbs and supplements? What are the chances of them are having a heart attack again.
So once you've had a heart attack, that demonstrates that you have coronary disease. So you have cholesterol plaque inside the blood vessels. And you could be a very lucky person and never have any problem again with the heart, but the chances are significantly higher than the average person of having a recurrent event. And it all depends on the severity of the disease at the time of that event, as well as what underlying risk factors you have for the heart attack in the first place. So if you're hypertensive, or meaning you have high blood pressure, if you're diabetic, your blood sugar is high, if you have high cholesterol, family history, all of these different things that are risk factors for heart disease, you're adding upon, one building block upon the other. And by ignoring all of these and just taking herbs, you're essentially just ignoring these risk factors and setting yourself up for a recurrent event.
Okay, the caller went. We have another 3 minutes to go.
For that question, and to you, Dr. Scantlebury, for that answer. You are listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The voice you just heard was Dr. Scantlebury. She's a interventional, I'm trying to remember all the four words, interventional cardiologist. Great. So she's the one, if you miss and break your heart, she'll be the one to fix it. And she doesn't need as much work. We are trying to avoid you having to see her under those circumstances. We don't mind if you see her socially or say hi in the street, but we really don't want to see her under the mask with your heart in literally in her hands. She's a board member of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. And
please let us go back. Please let us go back on the telephone line, Jason.
All right, we have another caller. Wonderful. Thanks for calling, caller. Thank you for calling For the Health of It.
That's a good night. A question for the doctor. I am a hypertension. I have an uncontrollable pressure, they say. My pressure went up to 260/190. I had to be in intensive care and hospital, which leads me to a heart attack and a stroke. And I tried my best with my medication. I do what I should do, but somehow the numbers don't even keep. It always, high 150, 160. It don't keep like 120, over 80, or anything like that. So what could be the real problem?
So resistant hypertension, which is what we're describing, has different causes. And if you are, I think if you are under the care of your general practitioner, perhaps it may be worthwhile for them to refer to a specialist, either a hypertension specialist like Dr. Connell or a cardiologist or even an internist, because you may need tests to determine exactly why your blood pressure is so resistant.
Yes,
because
controllable pressure. And thing is, when it hurt like that, I was feeling real good. Because the time when I had this, I woke up. I had an appointment for this hospital. And I walk in going down the road. I didn't feel the kind of thing. And then when I get to the clinic, and I check the pressure, the doctor said, you can't go back home. I said, boy, are you going to work? No. Your pressure is 260/190. And from then I was, I had to get my family and stuff. So I then had the heart attack. They said I had another heart attack. And I had another stroke here late last year, where I couldn't walk or do anything for myself. And they had given me up, but thank God I'm here alive. So I tried my best to keep on attending my appointments. I don't miss them.
Okay. So if you've had those tests done to look for causes, and then sometimes you do all the tests and there's no specific cause, it's just you have very stiff vessels and your blood pressure is difficult to control.
Yeah.
And again, as we said, that we could always get the blood pressure down. We just need to do what we need to do. The one thing is that sometimes there are some people who do have very, what we call, labile blood pressures, where they walk this very tight rope between very high blood pressures and low blood pressures, or sometimes the blood pressure becomes low when they stand up, but it's very high when you lie down.
Yeah.
And you get symptoms when the blood pressure drops low. So then you have to
to accept slightly higher blood pressure so that you don't experience significantly lower blood pressure. So it's a fairly complex issue, but you work with your doctor. Sometimes there are tests that can give us an idea as to whether some of these high blood pressures you're seeing when you come into the clinic are related to what we call white coat hypertension, or if it truly is that high all the time. So here's the thing. High blood pressure is a silent condition, and you are a classic example of what most people experience. There are a lot of people walking around out there with very, very high blood pressures with absolutely no symptoms. The vast majority of people will not feel symptoms with high blood pressure. It's only that this blood pressure is wearing away at the heights of your blood vessels and causing problems with the heart and kidneys, etc. And it's doing it very quietly, right? So it's this little thing that's there in the background doing its damage.
Very insidious.
Exactly, that's the word I'm looking for. Actually, I'm looking for like the thief in the night type metaphor. Unfortunately, sometimes you don't know that your blood pressure is high before it's too late.
Yeah.
That's why we encourage people to know their number, see their doctor on a regular basis, and get the blood pressure checked on a regular basis.
Caller, don't give up. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Thank you very much for the information, too. Have a good night.
All right. On that.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
We have to bring the show to a close. Looking forward to an extended series of programs starting next week. But in the meantime, we are so grateful for the intervention of Dr. Dawn Scanterbury. She's an interventional cardiologist and a board member of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. And we really appreciate the work that she's doing in terms of cardiac disease prevention and rehabilitation. And we are grateful also to the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Ms. Trudy Griffith, who co-hosts and her organization sponsors this program for the health of it. I'm Jason Bell. Ken Husband's in the studio. Your next show is Lyrical Interpretations. But in the meantime, listeners, listen out to our next program. Listen out to our past programs on vob929.com/for the health of it. Get in contact with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. 423, that's right, 427-9338, 230-2975, diabetes.bb, dab40a@gmail.com, or on their social media at Diabetes Barbados. Trudy, just a couple more seconds, and then we will move on.
So I want to thank Dr. Dawn Scanterbury for joining us on the program this evening for the health of it. I think that she shares some phenomenal information with you.
Absolutely.
So therefore, you can follow up with us using the credentials that Jason has just shared. You can let us know the job that we're doing. Are we doing a good job? Are we answering your questions? What do you want to hear from us at the Diabetes Association of Barbados? Please contact us using the information that Jason has just shared. So thank you so much, Dr. Scanterbury. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you,
Ken.
For having me.
Barbados, have a wonderful
day. For the health of it.